Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a huge shout-out and thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I've got another interesting piece of business here that I'd like to bring up before we get to the rest of today's episode. And that is that I have put out an open casting call for a bunch of awesome friends of the show and community guests to do a guest intro read of my intro for this podcast. So I will start interspersing some of the submissions that I've received in the following weeks and months. I hope you enjoy them. They've been really fun to hear on my end, and I can't wait to share them with you. And with that out of the way, let's get to the rest of today's episode. So today's episode is another in the Lightning Build series, where I bring a lot of awesome people from the community and friends of the show on to build a Commander deck, kind of blind date style. I have a list of legendary creatures that I have curated from throughout Magic's history who don't necessarily have one specific or maybe two specific ways to build them. They're fairly open-ended. They're fun. In a lot of cases, they're not very played. They're not played very much in EDH Rec, and that's the whole challenge on there. So today's guest in the hot seat is a returning face, an awesome person, awesome member of the community, and friend of the show, reintroducing Phil, aka Neo Royal. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, are you ready to take your turn in the hot seat?
Oh yeah.
All right. So, and again, before we begin on this one, I will bring it up again that the Lightning Build here is effectively you just building a deck shell for us in like the next 10 to 15 minutes. I will give you your commander here in a moment, and then you will try to build a deck concept around that. Obviously, we don't have to go all the way down to 100 cards, but, you know, just kind of give everybody an idea of how exactly you would go about building this commander if you were to do something like that. You good to go?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, Phil, am I correct in the fact you really like your graveyard? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, then I have the exact perfect one for you. Your commander match for today's Lightning Build is out of Theros Beyond Death, everybody's favorite Orzhov Hound, Kunaros, Hound of Athreos. Kunaros is a 3/3 legendary hound costing 1 white and a black. Reads Vigilance, Menace, Lifelink. Creature cards in graveyards can't enter the battlefield, and players can't cast spells from graveyards. So since we're friends, and since I kind of want to make you squirm a little bit, take us away.
All right. So the first thing, easy include, I would go a bit of keyword soup, because you got Vigilance, Menace, and Lifelink on the commander, so Udric and Akroma would be pretty good on that. Trying to think, like, I have my Shadrix deck that does a bit already that, like, hate bears and keyword soup. So I'm trying to think if there's something else I could do instead of just like doing the same thing I did with Shadrix.
I mean, you definitely have a good starting place right here with Vigilance, Menace, and Lifelink on a 3/3 body for 3. I feel like that's a really good starting place, especially since even if you just do any sort of combat damage, you're already gaining 3 life. It can't be blocked by only one creature, can, you know, be kept up to attack and defend. So it's like Kunaros, at least how I look at it, has a very, very flexible body, I think. And then everything else on there is just window dressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, it's true that you could focus probably a bit on the lifelink part since you have it in the command zone instead of having to find it in the deck. So maybe things that trigger of gaining life in white, or in black, you try maybe to spend it with some casual ad nauseam or something like that.
So basically you're saying that you'd want this to be an ad nause deck, kind of, sort of?
Maybe. If you go a bit of 8 bears, like I did in Shetrix, they don't cost, they were not that high in the CMC department, but probably with the Bolas Citadel would be even better than Adnaz, because you get them straight into play. So you could try and build this deck to go get Bolas Citadel and like really go to town.
For sure. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of ways in black to be able to pay life. Like if you look at my Selenia Dark Angel deck, which loves to gain and pay life, there's a lot of really cool things you can do in Orzhov with that sort of thing. So lifelink is definitely one of those keywords, especially in Orzhov colors, that it doesn't necessarily see as much play as it could, but I feel is kind of underrated.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it's the kind of thing where if you never had a life gain deck in your play group, you don't think it's as good as it is. But if you don't play infinite, life gain is just super good because they just are always out of range of combat decks unless the combat deck really pop off early game.
For sure. So back to Kunoros here. So you have the keyword soup there, honestly. And now that you have that in place and you have a few ways to maybe be able to spend some life, what are some hate bears out there, what are you going to try to necessarily be finding with your Bolas Citadel, or let's say something like Ad Nauseam? How are you going to be able to leverage the last two abilities, if you even want to leverage them at all, to be able to try to keep your opponents from, you know, reanimating things?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can really actively use the hit bear part on the card. Like if you face off a graveyard deck, it's good, but I'm not sure if you can just like force somebody to use their graveyards. Or maybe if you living death. No, would it work? No, because well, you stack the Kunoros first.
Yes, you're right. Sorry, I had to think there for a moment, because with Living Death type effects, you do have to exile the creature cards from your graveyard, then cards on the battlefield, then all of your exiled cards from the graveyard hit the battlefield simultaneously. So yeah, you're definitely right that the last two abilities on Kunoros are kind of more the static, your hate bear type things. You may not be able to necessarily build around them, and they're useful in the right situations, but not always. But again, I feel like there's a lot of value right there too. Is that it's a way to be able to keep some of your opponents off of being able to do things that they want to do, and it's nice to be able to have a 3/3 flexible body to be able to do something with those extra turns you've been able to potentially get.
Mm-hmm. I just noticed too that Kunoros is for everybody, not just your opponents. So even for yourself, like. At first, I thought, oh, maybe you want to try and bring everything from the grave to the battlefield and you just get the cards, but even you can't get them. So,
all right. So now that you have some keyword tribal in there, what are some of the other cool cards that you think would be fun to run with Kunoros?
I'm thinking maybe one cycle I liked a lot was from Ikoria. They did the cycle for the different keywords. Sadly, I think the red one was for Menace, so you can't have it in this deck. Like, if you have Menace, you need 3 creatures instead of 2 to block it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the white one is definitely Vigilance, so we can buff your stuff with that. So if your 8 bears are a bit smaller, Vigilance can help. Lifelink, I'm not sure if... I don't even know what's the name of the cycle, but I don't know if they did the like a lord for the lifelink.
Well, there's definitely a lot of ways for my Ikoria to be able to get ability counters on your creatures. And there are some other creatures, again, I'm always blanking on the names, where if you could use current Kunoros' abilities to be able to, in theory, give some of your other creatures those exact same keywords. I mean, just personally, when I think of Kunoros, I think of something that you could basically try to use Kunoros maybe as exile fodder if it dies. I'm trying to think of exactly what the cards are that work with this. But okay, so one of the cards that I was thinking of personally, and I'm not trying to hijack your build here, but something like Cairn Wanderer, which is a 4/4 shapeshifter changeling. It reads, as long as a creature card with flying is in a graveyard, it has flying. Same is true for fear, first strike, double strike, death touch, haste, land walk, lifelink, protection, reach, trample, shroud, and vigilance. And I know I read through that way too quickly, but the point here is that you could even get some value out of creatures like this in your deck, because if Kunoros hits the graveyard and you have ways to be able to reanimate it, because it doesn't count itself, so you can technically reanimate Kunoros. But even something like Cairn Wanderer would be pretty interesting to have if you're going to have a lot of keyword soup creatures out there, because it basically has all of those same keyword abilities if you have even one in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm. For sure, if you get like board wipe once, then you get the Wanderer back on the board, and you're back where you were for the big endems.
So does that seem like something interesting you could potentially do with this deck? Maybe try to find ways to be able to give all your creatures those sorts of keywords, and then be able to do something with that?
Yeah, probably. I'm looking at the cards that say whenever you gain life, so that could be something you could do, a mix between like keyword soup and life gain. So since you spread lifelink, you join the two strategy a bit.
Mm-hmm. That definitely reminds me of the Archangel of Thune shell, right there, the Cathar's Crusade shell. Something I see very often in my own personal playgroup with some life gain synergies is you get a lot of +1/+1 counters. You give yourself a way to build a large army, playing the creatures you're already playing and then gaining life, however you're already going to be gaining. And then if you can give all your creatures lifelink, that's definitely something else that's really nice. Yeah, I feel like Kunoros is a very interesting card in the fact it's basically a hate bear commander, as we've already been talking about. And again, players can't cast spells from graveyards, and creature cards can't enter the battlefield. So again, you can bring things back, but you can't cast spells from graveyards. I feel like this would actually be a really interesting CDH commander, potentially, to just like stop some of the main win conditions in the meta currently, and just be able to turn all of those sorts of things off.
It's true, because you hit Breach pretty hard.
Yeah, anything utilizing Underworld Breach, anything utilizing, in some cases, like Razaketh, where you're trying to get the Demon Lord back on the battlefield, you're stopping flashback things, even things like Faithless Looting you can't use with this card out there. So Kunoros, I think, could be built in a lot of different ways. And again, I'm not trying to hijack your episode here, Phil, but I think just personally this would kind of be interesting to see how you could just use this as basically a hate bear commander in the more competitive metas, and just see if that does something for you.
Yeah, and then maybe in CDH, the Adnos thing make more sense. Like in casual, you go but a Citadel, but in CDH, you can have both the Citadel and the Adnos.
Sure, sure. So how about now that we've kind of talked about how you would build this one casually, you kind of do some keyword soup, how would you build this deck in more of a competitive shell? Again, we just talked about Bolas's Citadel, we've talked about Adnos, we've talked about ways to be able to utilize life to be able to gain resources. Pure into the Abyss would probably be really good here as well. But since your commander already shuts off so many strategies, what do you think else should go in here? How would you build a CDH deck around Kunoros?
Trying to think, what are the Orzhov combos, like the big ones? I thought of the Leonin that comes back with the Animate Dead, but that won't work because that's exactly what you prevent with the with Kunoros.
Yeah, and unfortunately, someone like Bomberman won't work with this.
How would you close a game?
I mean, I feel like if you can gain infinite mana, you can always try to run an uncounterable Torment of Palefire or something.
Yeah, probably. The only thing, though, with the, it's not as good with the Ballastadel, but with Adnaz, it can.
Sure, and if you find ways to be able to loop things, again, you can't loop, like, Gary, for instance, but you never know. you might be able to find some attrition here. So I feel like this would definitely be a stacks deck.
For sure.
Because you're going to be trying to slow your opponents down. You're going to try to be able to utilize those last two abilities to be able to make sure your opponents can't do anything while you're breaking parity yourself. And by using lifelink and having vigilance, Kunoros can actually be a useful source of even potentially kind of going Voltron if you had to and try to take someone out of the game.
Oh yeah, I never turned down the occasion to put a Black Blade Reforge into a deck. It's just the best.
You see, so now Black Blade Reforge is CDH playable. You've heard it here, folks.
Well, I don't know if it's in CDH it would work, because in CDH you probably have like, what, 3-4 lands compared to casual where you probably have 8-9 lands.
I know. But still, if you could find a way to cheat it on the battlefield or something, there's so many ways to be able to do that you could try potentially to give your Kunoros +2/+3, in which case all of a sudden now you have a 5 or 6 damage creature coming in. Again, not saying this is the most efficient way to get there, but it feels like an interesting kind of backup strategy should your Orzhov-based combos not fire.
Yeah.
All right, so we've kind of just talked about Kunoros in general. It's not necessarily building a deck, but we've really just talked about all the strengths on this interesting hound from Theros Beyond that people have basically forgotten about. This card really didn't get a whole lot of love when it was released, and honestly has not gotten a whole lot of love in the 2 years since. And I feel like that may need to change. That this commander seems very useful for, if nothing else, keeping the graveyard players off their main strategy.
One thing, though, that I would fear if I was to build this deck, and especially in casual, is that if you pull out this deck, and if you pull it out before your friends choose, then they will never pick their graveyard deck. And if you choose it after, then it's kind of a mean move, because you just pick like a commander that shuts down their whole strategy. So in casual, maybe having the hate bear ready to go in the command zone, maybe that would be a bit meh.
Yeah, for sure. This is a commander that's kind of like Linvala, Keeper of Silence. It's a target in the command zone for its own reason, because it is preventing resource accumulation throughout the game. And again, if you get into more optimized meta, hopefully it won't be as big a deal. But again, I'm not trying to say it is or it isn't a problem. It depends on your playgroup, depends on the people you're playing with. Always ask your playgroup, always do a rule zero. This is your daily reminder to do rule zero as usual. But yeah, you're right on that one, is that Kunoros can definitely draw some hate, especially at the more casual tables, because it does turn off even just someone doing like an anime dead just to bring something cool out of the graveyard. Well, all of a sudden, Kunoros shuts that off. And the fact that it's a 3 mana means that even if it dies a couple times, it gets removed for 7 or 9 mana later, you can bring it out. Whereas other commanders, if they cost 11, 13, 15 mana, it stops becoming sustainable to be able to do that. So at a low mana cost, with decent stats, with a lot of keyword abilities, and just something that can wreck entire game plans, Kunoros can be real mean at a lot of tables.
I just thought of one more card that Kelly plays in some of her decks that I never really tried out. It's the Shepherd of, I think it's from Theros Beyond Death, from the same set. It's like the Shepherd of Nightmare.
Yeah, can you tell the people out there what exactly that card does?
Yeah, it's a 4/4 flying. Whenever another non-token creature control dies, you may exile it. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a 1/1 and it's a nightmare in addition to its other types. So with Kunoros, what's cool is that since you will be shutting down graveyards, you don't really care about exiling your creature when they die, but you do get like something back right now with the effect. So I don't know how many variation of that you have in the game, but if you could build around the fact that you don't have access to your graveyard in black, that could be something original.
Yeah, it also reminds me of the new Gisa, for instance, too, or Lisa as well, where the creatures that die come back. I'm not sure if it's the creature cards or if it's a token, but if they come...
They get exiled instead, and then if you still have Gisa, you get them back.
Yeah, so that basically gets around Kunoros's trigger, effectively, or a static ability, the creature cards and graveyards can't enter the battlefield, but if they get exiled first, you can bring them back from exile no matter how you want. So that right there sounds like a kind of a tricky way to be able to take creatures, because Grave Betrayal does not work with Kunoros, for instance, but the two that I mentioned just a moment ago, I believe, would.
Yeah, I think so. Since they get exiled, I think it would work. Gisa would work also like in the Hate Bear kind of archetype, because she prevents death triggers. So if your opponents are trying to do that, it's somewhat of a Hate Bear.
For sure. And you're also able to stop a lot of loops with Kunoros too. You can't loop Gary. You can't loop things with the Dockside. Yeah, you can't loop Dockside as easily with this on the battlefield. Or I'm trying to think, Zulaport Cutthroat. Jeez. There's kind of a difference between Zulaport Cutthroat and Dockside Extortionist, but but they kind of work in tandem in their own ways. You can't easily loop those sorts of things. So if you are looking to be able to run some sort of combo in this, especially in more of a competitive version, you would have to find a way that doesn't get stopped by your own commander. My own Fringe CDH deck would actually get stopped stone cold by this one, because it is a reanimator deck, so that isn't great for that specific deck. But if you can find ways, like with Gisa, like with Leia, to be able to get around that, exile things, or use even something like Promise of Tomorrow, which is a really interesting white enchantment. I'm going to look it up here real quickly. Yeah, so Promise of Tomorrow is an enchantment costing 2 and a white, and says whenever a creature you control dies, exile it. Beginning of each end step, if you control no creatures, sacrifice Promise of Tomorrow, return all cards exiled with it to battlefield under your control. Obviously, you know, this would require Kunoros to be off the battlefield, so it's not the best, but it also does allow your creatures to be exiled to when they hit the graveyard. So maybe there's some interesting synergies there. I don't know, but it seems kind of fun to be able to play around with that.
Mm-hmm. You can also just like put them back to hand. So if you run spells that go back to hand instead of straight to the battlefield, then you would go around your commander.
Yeah, there's so many ways you can get around your commander there, just by exiling things, by bouncing things. And white is really good, especially at being able to blink things, too. So there's just a lot of really cool stuff you can do with this commander and just kind of sit on its static ability.
Yeah, you phase out Kunoros until the end of turn. You bring back your stuff, and then Kunoros come back.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Something like Glorious Angel, something like that.
Robe of Stars, I think it's called, from the D&D set.
Robe of Stars would be good too. There is that angel from Kaldheim that does the same thing, where you get to exile as many creatures as you would like when it hits the battlefield, and then when it leaves the battlefield, they all return. So it's just a really interesting creature way to blink things. So yeah, blinking things would be really interesting with this commander. So I guess if you were to kind of fill out the rest of the deck, there would be some interesting ways to blink creatures in there to keep them from being removed, and also just get around your commander.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we basically had a very interesting discussion here, Phil, today about this very interesting commander who, unfortunately, I have a feeling you would not necessarily like to face off against. Am I correct on that one?
Yeah, probably not. But it's kind of the thing I said, like, maybe if we do blind commanders, like everybody reveal, that's less of a feel bad, but I would always double think on like, what do I play? Okay, I'm playing against that, then do I pick some deck that don't care about that? It's kind of a funny situation to be in.
Sure, it's definitely a kind of deck that hoses various strategies, but if you're not going up against those strategies, it maybe doesn't do the best, but it has some interesting keywords, so you can definitely tie in on those as well. So you're not completely dead in the water, especially if you build around those.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Vigilance, Medicine, Lifelink, that is really an awesome trio of abilities. I really like Lifelink, but I feel like Vigilance gets slept on too, is that a lot of people out there think the Vigilance is not the best. And again, it's maybe not, especially in a non-creature heavy deck. But if you are looking to try to attack, Vigilance is super underrated. I have Voltron decks, or I've had Voltron decks, where if I had Vigilance on there, they'd be 10 times better. Because you want your commander to be able to attack and block. And Kunoros has that all in a 3-3 for 3 body.
For sure. The more your meta is focused on creatures, the more vigilance is better. Like, for sure, if you play against combo and your opponents basically have no creature, it doesn't matter as much. But if you're just too aggro player and you have vigilance, the other does not, it makes a big difference in just, like, the swings you can make and where you get your edge.
For sure. So I think what we the take-home point from today is you're not going to be seeing me playing Kunoros or anyone playing Kunoros on the Neo Royal House of Pricey cardboard anytime soon.
Well, they're welcome to bring it. I have my friend who plays Sisse Hate Bear, so he can just tutor his Graveyard Hate Bear when he needs them. So it's, I mean, I can deal with it.
Okay. And speaking of the Neo Royal House of Pricey cardboard, since we've reached the end of today's episode, how about you give a quick shout out to your content channel?
Yeah, you can check me out on YouTube under the name Neo Royal House of Pricey cardboard. I do Commander gameplay that are like 10 to 20 minutes edited with narration. Can think a bit like MTG Mudster, but with a bit more animations and fluff on top. So if that's something that would interest you, I invite you to check it out.
Yeah, and I can definitely link all of that stuff in the description of this video if you're interested in checking that gameplay series out. And definitely check out the episodes while you're there that I've been on. I've had the privilege and the honor of being on there a couple of times, had some interesting games on there, brought some of my favorite decks on the show, and it's a lot of fun. So definitely check those episodes out.
Yeah, you should link the colorless Najila one since YouTube does not want people to find it.
I don't know why that happens. I mean, it's colorless Najila. It's fun.
Yeah, probably if you search colorless Najila, probably it pops up. But if you just type your royal Najila, it does not. So
that's so weird. But like I said on Twitter the other day, you know, maybe colorless Najila doesn't show up because there's a lack of colored mana in the land base. Am I right?
Maybe.
All right. And if you're interested in hearing any of the other lightning builds that I've done or any of the back catalog of the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Google, Apple, Spotify, MTG Cast, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, and a whole host of other podcast outlets out there. If it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my podcast on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. And I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royals featured on today's episode, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.